And I leave open the possibility, and indeed subscribe to the notion, that there was something pre-Adamic happening on the earth. I absolutely believe, others don't, I respect their opinions, I happen to believe that Adam was the first human being from whom we all, through whom we all come. And I say it that way because there are a lot of sincere Christians who don't, but who do believe in Jesus and in the work of the cross and so forth. That's okay. They're entitled to that opinion, and I understand some of the conclusions that they draw. However, I myself am very confident about the fact that Adam was the first human being. I'm also quite confident about the fact that Adam was not the first sentient entity to inhabit the earth. And again, I want to exclude, everybody can take the angel factor off the table, because obviously this amorphous group of beings called angels existed before humans. They were there. They shouted for joy when the earth was created. The B'nai Elohim shouted for joy when the earth was created. By the way, the New Testament tells us that the earth was created, that the creation came through Jesus. It was for Jesus, and to people interested in quantum physics, all things are held together in Jesus. So there's the answer to what they're looking for, ostensibly what they're looking for at CERN. Of course, they would all laugh at that, but that's the biblical answer. Jesus is the all things consist. All things consist in him. All things came through him, and all things exist for him. So that's why Jesus is the anchor. It's the best anchor. There is no better anchor for understanding any of this. It is to understand Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the anchor. So to this idea that Adam, in my mind, and I believe biblically speaking, was the first human being. And the creation of man was a seminal point in the grand scheme of all things that exist. The creation of man was not just a blip on the radar. The creation of man was a stop and watch event, take notice event for all the entities that existed before man was created. That, I believe, is evident. God decided to do something for the first time when he created us. At least when he created our progenitor, Adam. He decided to do something very unique. And that gives everybody a clue why we are so despised by all these other things that exist outside of us. Something very unique about the human race. There's something very cherished about the human race. Obviously, we know that the Bible says we were created in God's image. Now, I believe that means something very specific, it's why we're so despised, and we are despised. Why we're so despised by the let's just call them the fallen entities, the great host of fallen entities that exist of all shapes and sizes and kinds. Why they hate us so much is because God loves us so much, because we were so cherished that he did something for the first time when he created us. And let me just say that the devil was not very excited about Adam. I think that's self-evident. Too many times people go around anathematizing each other, damning each other. If you're not pre-trib, or if you are pre-trib, or if you believe this or that, the other. I actually was just telling my wife last night that we have so many enemies. All you got to do is look at the comments on the videos. We have so many enemies that would love to absolutely destroy each of us. Real enemies that hate the gospel, that hate the fact that we would even dare talk about fields of science outside of conventional science and so forth. That we really don't even have the luxury to criticize each other. We ought to be finding as much common ground among one another and linking up as tightly as we can to be able to confront the real adversary and the real adversarial power that is coming against us collectively. And one of the things that bothers me so much in this very small, tightly knit prophecy niche that so many of us are involved in is the great conflicts that arise over the smallest issues that keep people divided, that keep people from really interacting and making a collective thrust against the real adversaries. Something that I learned that really opened my eyes was we many times Christians have by nature a very humanistic perspective on the Bible. We view the Bible through the lens of humanity. That's how we view the Bible. That's how we read the Bible. That's how we're taught to view the Bible. That's how we're taught to view everything, actually, is through the lens of humanity. We have a human-centric perspective. But the truth is that is a faulty way, an erroneous way to approach the scriptures and to approach anything, whether it be science, whether it be literature, whether it be art, anything. We approach it from a flawed perspective, which is the human perspective, a terribly flawed perspective. The only way to truly begin to see the big picture and to understand and to be open to the idea, for example, that there was a pre-Adamic age, is if we stop viewing ourselves as the most important piece of the puzzle. It is so hard for people to conceive a universe in which we are not present. And that is because of pride. Yeah. And that is because we have an inflated view of humanity, even though I just got done saying that something very special happened with us. That's true. But we don't have, so there's a difference between having the appreciation that something very special happened to us, that when Adam was created, it was something very unique. There's a difference between appreciating that fact and then having pride and being arrogant to the degree that we cannot imagine anything having a reason, having a purpose that doesn't have to do with us. That's anti-biblical, because according to scriptures, it doesn't revolve around us. Neither does the universe, neither does the earth, neither do the events of heaven, the activities of heaven. Very clearly, everything, all things revolve around the Father and his Son. All things, specifically around Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us very clearly in the New Testament. Jesus is the apple of his Father's eye, not me, not you. When you boil it down, we don't really understand. We do not grasp how much the Father loves his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. That's what he told the disciples after the Mount of Transfiguration ordeal. This is my beloved Son. Remember, they saw, who was it that they saw? Elijah and I think Moses, right?
Yeah.
And they wanted to build a tabernacle for them. And they were all caught up in this whole thing of seeing this vision of Jesus being ministered to by these individuals. And suddenly there's a bright light and they hear the voice of God. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And they look up and what do they see? Only Jesus at that point. That's the way we ought to view scripture. That's the way we ought to view the universe. This is my beloved Son. That's what we're being told. Through creation, through scripture, hear him. And we have to get away from having a humanistic perception of everything. We have to have a Christ-centric perspective. A Christ-centered perspective on everything is going to give us the proper view, no matter what issue we're tackling. no matter what theological or scientific issue arises. If you have a Christ-centric perspective, all the pieces fall into place because it's not about you and I, it is about Him. He is the why. He's the centerpiece. He's the cornerstone of why everything is happening. It's Him, not me. It's Him. And that's why I can consider, for example, a pre-Adamic age, because it doesn't change the gospel. It makes no difference. It only changes our place in the timeline of history. And for a lot of Christians, that's not an option. We have to be at the center of things. If we're not at the center of things, then it's hard for them to receive or even to understand or even receive the gospel, because it's a human-centric perspective. It is faulted from the beginning. But if you have a Christ-centric perspective, you can think about a pre-Adamic age. If you have a Christ-centered perspective, flying saucers and aliens don't bother you. It does not change the gospel. It does not change who Jesus is or what He did or what we are. It doesn't change it. And neither does a pre-trib rapture or a post-trib rapture or any of that kind of stuff change the fact of who is this man, the primal question that is being posed to us and answered throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelations. He is the beginning, He is the Alpha, and He is the end. He is the Omega. He is the chapter one of Genesis to chapter whatever it is of Revelations. He is the beginning, the opening, and the closing of the book, period. And once we become comfortable with that kind of a perspective, then we are grounded on solid and into a solid foundation. We are anchored into Christ. We are not bothered by other sentient entities being in the mix and having a role. Doesn't bother us because it doesn't matter. The gospel isn't about me, it's about Him. And yes, I'm a human being, and therefore the Scriptures are laying out what I am, where I came from, what we've become, and why we need Him and what He does for us in His benevolence and grace. And that's what it is. It's just grace. He didn't have to do it. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have if I was God. Of course, that's a futile statement. But certainly from a human perspective, we would never give the kind of grace and mercy and forgiveness to creatures such as ourselves. So it's not even valid to approach the Bible from a human perspective. We have a human-centric perspective. We're human, so that's the perspective we have. But I'm saying we're not at the center. We're not at the center. We don't make the universe work. It doesn't exist for us. The flower on the bottom of the ocean isn't there because human beings love beauty. It's there because the Father loves His Son. All things were created for Him and through Him. And so so what I'm saying is people ought not be afraid to venture into these ideas. Anchor yourself in the gospel. Anchor yourself in Christ. Know who you are. Know why you need salvation. That's something that so many believers have forgotten or can't even answer that question. What are you being saved from? What's your problem? Why do you need a Savior? Well, if you can't answer that question, then you don't have an understanding of the gospel. And furthermore, if you can't answer that question, then there's no way you can understand what's happening on the earth. There's no way. You've got to understand the human condition and how the human condition fits into everything else that's happening in regards to the stuff we've been talking about today. So, you know, people say they're pre-trib, they're post-trib, they're mid-trib. I'm pre-flood, man. I am pre-flood.
Yeah.
Because for me, we have got to understand what happened in the world before the flood of Noah if we're going to have any idea whatsoever about what is going on now and what is coming.